Welcome to our Straight to the Comments mini episode.
Today we're going to be talking about the launch of Elizabeth Hurley and Damien Hurley's new film, Strictly Confidential.
But first we'll be playing our comment guessing game.
Okay, let's do this.
Okay, Sarah, first comment. Think of all the good that money could have done and yet it's been wasted on 6 inches. Beggar's belief.
The only answer I can think of is X-rated.
Second comment. As Jean-Paul Sartre argued, that hell is other people.
No, still, I'm going to need another one. I do love Sartre, though.
This is the last comment. Lawyers love fences.
Oh, is this some kind of boundary dispute or something? Or someone's built like some ridiculously hideous over-the-top fence? And
yes.
Now there's a legal dispute or something.
Yeah. And this story is actually about a property developer and his neighbours who are facing off in court once again after blowing a combined £70,000 in a 4-year fight over whether a fence should be moved back 6 inches.
Wow.
And I don't know if it's just me, but lately I feel like I've been seeing a lot of stories about these sort of mutual destruction legal cases about fences in the press.
It's similar to, I remember a story where a couple, I can't even remember the amount, but they spent so much money fighting a divorce. If they just split that money, they'd have had more than they spent on the lawyers. You know, where you just kind of think, okay, you spent 70,000. Is that really worth it for those 6 inches? So I just can't, sorry, I can't say the phrase 6 inches without laughing.
I mean,
sorry.
I mean, and that's the thing that I think a lot of people in the comments are like, get a grip. You've got more money than sense to spend years of litigation over these small boundary disputes.
I don't think they start off. If you start off and someone goes, it's going to be 70,000, they'd probably be like, no, I won't bother.
Yeah.
But they'll start off with a couple of thousand going, well, I'm not going to let them get away with this. It's all about standing up for myself. They go to the lawyers and, you know, then it escalates to the point that you realise you've spent that much money, but you probably didn't realise initially, you know?
Of course. Have you ever got into a dispute with a neighbour?
Me personally, no. I mean, I've always rented, so, you know. But I do remember as a kid, my parents bought their house and they bought it in auction and someone else had wanted it. And my parents outbid them. And he was so angry, he bought the plot of land next door and built a house. And he just made their lives hell for about 10 years. It just gets into this kind of locked stalemate. And he eventually gave in and moved. I think it was after about 13 years or something.
What the hell do you do if it's your like forever home? I mean, I always used to joke with my friends in London when we were doing flat shares in London. We were always like, who is the person that's always living above you that's wearing clogs, walking around at night and moving furniture just for hours? It just felt like that in London.
I also just think our houses are supposed to feel like a safe haven.
Yeah.
And I sometimes just think people have different expectations of what's acceptable or what's reasonable. And you can see that in the neighbour disputes where each one is clearly feeling threatened in some way, psychologically, emotionally, that person's encroaching, that person is stealing land from them, that person is, you know, unsafe. And to feel unsafe in your own home, I think it makes people very reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think.
I found this quote, I found this text exchange on this website called Bored Panda about neighbours from hell. And it really made me laugh. So here's the text exchange. And it goes like this. Hi, is my cat in your apartment? Person responds, my cat is in my apartment. And then they respond, yeah, I think you think my cat is yours. He was a homeless cat that I took in over a year ago. And then this person responds, you're nuts. The cat you've been feeding is mine, been mine for 6 years, not homeless, and he's gained weight because of you. And then the person replies, that's a lie. Bring back my cat, please, now, or I'll call the police. And he said, or the person responded, oh, please do. This will be fun. And can I just say, cats, they're so naughty.
They are naughty. And also, I've seen a few posts about this or videos about this, because they often say cats choose their owners. So, people have a cat, they'll feed them, they'll treat them well, but they end up sort of moving in down the street. And it's almost like there's not that much you can do about it. I lived a place and this cat used to keep coming in and trying to steal my cat's food in the middle of the night, and I'd have to like run through and be like, Nobby, get out.
His name was Nobby.
Yeah, his name was Nobby. No. I don't know why. And the neighbors were like, I'm so sorry. You know, we've tried. I'll even, you know, contribute to an electronic cat flap that won't let him in. I was like, you know, it's okay. But I wasn't trying to steal him or anything, so.
Okay, Sarah, so like when you finally get your Judge Judy, Judge Sarah show, which I support.
Oh, where I can just go around judging everyone, excellent.
And this comes to court and you've got these two people sat with you, both saying this cat's yours. Okay, one cat might be microchipped and belong to the other one, but the cat wants to live with the other one. What are you doing?
Well, that's okay, I want to be like really annoyingly specific here, but it's like if you're the judge, you have to follow legal law, don't you? And so whoever...
Does Judge Judy follow law?
I don't know.
I thought it was like a moral, sentimental thing.
If a person can show that they bought it, that they've been taking care of it, that they microchipped it, blah, 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 technically that's their cat then. But how are you going to enforce that? What are you going to do? Lock the cat permanently in?
But like, if this was a proper court case, there'd be a cat psychiatrist though and say where the cat wants to live.
Seeing. Yeah. It's a shame people can't just go, well, it's a shame they can't all, in a certain extent, share.
Yeah.
And there's also a big difference between someone, a cat going and adopting another family and someone sort of enticing that cat in. That's a very different thing, I think. So,
yeah, that's true. So now we're going to talk about the next bit, which is just like, I found this really fascinating and I think it makes common sense. But do you want to have a guess for the top reasons neighbours fight according to House Beautiful?
Probably something to do with boundaries, like the fence or the gate, or noise. Or I'm going to say, you know, people complaining that the other person's front yard is too messy or something? Is it any of those?
Yeah, you're on the right track. So one and two is playing music loudly is number one. Number two is having loud parties. Three, plants and trees overgrowing into the property.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one really grates my mum. They park in her driveway or in her spot in front of her house, which I think is so rude. You know, especially when she's an older lady. Cutting trees down, they keep knocking things into your garden or you knock things into their garden.
Is that with kids kicking
like
balls
footballs
over? Right, yep.
They won't pay for their half of the garden fence, okay, and then noisy children. So there's this question, right? Like, what do you actually do if you have got a neighbour from hell or even just like a nuisance neighbour who has noisy parties? Like, where do you legally stand? And someone asked a question and said, you know, I want to sell my house. Is it illegal for me not to declare them as a problem? Which I think is interesting from an ethical perspective. So let me tell you where the law stands at the moment. So in a nutshell, there's this idea of like buyer beware.
Yeah.
But in fact, the seller is now, the onus is on them to declare if there is any issues. So property sellers are now required in the UK to complete a seller's property information form known as a TA6. And this form specifically asks about neighbour disputes. If you've had or currently have a neighbour dispute, you must disclose it. What constitutes a dispute is left open to interpretation.
Yeah, you see, that's the bit that I would be most interested in. Like, you know, if someone's called the cops on you, clearly a dispute. If you just don't like them and you've occasionally had like not too friendly exchanges, do you have to declare that? I don't know.
This is it, Sarah. If you've made a complaint to the council or another authority about the behaviour of your neighbours, or if you've contacted them directly, then you're duty bound to declare it. And then someone responded with a comment to this article. There you have it, folks. If your neighbours start acting up, the only solution is to move. Do not under any circumstances make a complaint to the neighbour or council, as you'll have to declare that and nobody will want to buy your house if you're wanting to sell it later down the line. And I just wanted to say there, Sarah, I mean, that's quite a heavy penalty to pay when you're not actually the one causing the problem.
Yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it? Because I can sort of see both sides. And I think as well, what's difficult is where the line is.
Mm-hmm.
Is the neighbour a neighbour from hell? Or do you and them just have a very specific, you just really don't get on or something, like you set each other off? It is hard because say you spent a lot of money on a house and you moved in and then it turns out you had like a neighbour from hell.
Mm-hmm.
that is a, you know, that is
I would
a
be
shit
so
show.
Angry if the people selling hadn't told me, if that had been the number one reason they were moving.
But then at the same time, if you bought the house in good faith and then you're trying to sell it on, and the house in and of itself is worth a certain amount, it's unfair to then be like, well, I can't really sell it or get much money because I'm stuck next to an arsehole. I mean, it's so difficult.
A lot of people in the comments actually to this article said, you know what you should do? You should just drive around at night and go there on the weekends and just try and suss things out and like what the vibe is. Let's talk about lovely neighbours, because I love this story on Reddit to end this section with. Are you ready?
Yes.
So someone wrote, so I just stood in the back garden for 20 minutes chatting to the neighbour over the fence while we watched an army of bats stream out the eaves of his house. Highlight of the day, lovely fella. He loves when the bats come to roost in his roof. While we stood and watched, no fewer than 30 bats came out. None of them returned. They were all different bats, and we could hear still more in there. And wow. Someone responded, yeah. Is your neighbour's name Bruce Wayne by any chance? And then someone else said, lovely bloke, just came from Eastern Europe via Whitby. And then someone else asked, did he say anything vaguely ominous like the children of the night, what music they make?
Yeah, I don't think I'd be so excited if that many bats came out of my house, to be honest, but whatever floats your boat.
I've always loved the idea of living next to a vampire, so I'll just take it. I'll take the bats and everything. So one of the stories that came through that we were asked to do was about Elizabeth Hurley and her son, Damien Hurley, and the launch of their new film, Strictly Confidential. Have you seen much online about it?
Yeah, I have. I saw the trailer. Look, I did really like the 90s erotic thrillers, but it just shows you. I remember when we were watching them at the time thinking, oh, they always seem so cheesy. But it just shows you how much art there was involved to make a really good cheesy thriller, because otherwise it just looks a little bit like a student film.
Actually, that brings me to the sort of first thing I've been seeing online about this film, which is that these sort of accusations, you know, we did in our very first episode about Nepo babies. Critics have raised concerns about the opportunities available to Damien through his network, obviously through his mother, Elizabeth Hurley, and that he's been given this huge budget and opportunity for his directorial debut.
And it happens so often, doesn't it? Because look at Sofia Coppola, who hasn't she won has she won an Oscar? I can't remember. But like, I actually really like Sofia Coppola's movies, but she's obviously Francis Ford Coppola's daughter. Then Bryce Dallas Howard is an excellent actress, but she's also Ron Howard's daughter. So it's a bit hard. I would say, yes, nepotism, but you always... It's really not unheard of in that industry. For me, is the quality any good?
Yeah. But the thing that's been absolutely the dominating headline is this sex scene that he directed of Elizabeth Hurley. Under her Instagram posts promoting the film, someone has written, Oedipus Hurley. Another comment, Freud would be very, very mad. And then a lot of this. Think of the poor taste as a mother you have, your son involved in this. It was bad enough having him take photos of you in your bikinis.
I think that's why it's also, there was already comments before about those kind of things, you know, that he used to take photos of her sort of thirst photos or whatever. So this is just an extension of that. It weirdly makes me think of Charlotte Gainsbourg and her dad Serge Gainsbourg, and they did this weird song when she was really young called Lemon Incest, but there's also an element where I go, how much is this a PR marketing thing? I have heard actors talk about how it's not a sexy experience at all. It's very much like choreographing a fight scene. It's really work. So maybe if you've grown up on sets and you've been in that industry, there is a degree where there's absolutely nothing sexy about it while you're doing it, so you don't have that association. I mean, I used to do a lot of... I used to go to a lot of life drawing classes. You know, we draw people naked. And the nudity for me was, there was absolutely nothing sexual involved. I mean, I know this is a sex scene, so it's not just nudity. Would I want my son to do it? No. Do I think that they definitely shouldn't be allowed to do it? I think it's up to them and their relationship. Yeah. Also, I don't know how much they're leaning into this because they know they're going to get a lot more marketing for it.
You know, I think she's on a lot of talk shows this week in America, sort of saying with Damien Hurley sat by her saying, you know, she was comfortable filming these scenes under her son's direction. She felt comfortable. Mm. She felt safe and emphasised the professionalism on set and the trust she has him in as a filmmaker. And you do see that motherly pride when she's talking about him.
Yeah.
And like, kind of like, well, actually, you're the ones that have got your mind in the dirt almost. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's the same as like for people who don't grow up around nudity. So, you know, if you haven't grown up in a naturist family, if it's really taboo, when you see people naked, it's a real big shock. And then people who are very used to nudity, I lived in a house where people were naked a lot because it was like a tantra ashram. And I know a lot of hippies and everyone would swim naked. But it wasn't necessarily a sexual thing. Once you kind of get used to it, you sort of stop seeing it in that way. And then you remember when other people arrive and they're shocked because you forget. Mm-hmm. You forget that it's not normal or not normal to other people, let's say.
But that's the thing in Scandinavia. A lot of people do nude family saunas. And of course, no one really looks twice. But this is a sex scene that's been framed as sexual. And he's behind the lens directing it and writing it and editing it. And I would say most of the comments are like, no, I don't accept this. It is like the final boundary.
Mm.
Damien himself, he gave an interview to the Sunday Times about filming his mother's sex scenes. He said, I hate to say it, but it felt totally normal. I don't know what it says about us. And he said, I was speaking to a lot of my friends who are also second generation of parents in the industry. They say exactly the same thing, that things to outsiders that may seem totally strange and extraordinary for us will just have grown up with it every day. And I suppose there is something about, you know, his mother was known for wearing that dress, being in Austin Powers, having an incredible sexuality.
So again, as part of that marketing thing, this feels like a very on-brand thing to do.
Like you said, if you grew up in this environment, I know that like showbiz families or people even theatre, they're much more liberal and like, oh yeah, I've seen it all before, just get on with it type of vibe.
Yeah.
And someone did comment, they both seem very close, but it's a shame Damien didn't have a relationship with his father or any siblings for a bit of balance. I wonder if he's able to live independently of his mum, which is sad if he cannot at age 21. And I do think there's this idea that he's not sort of healthily separated from his mum. I mean, it's really giving me Grey Gardens. You know, that vibe of like, you know.
What you thought me and my mum were going to turn into, yeah.
Yeah. But the idea that, you know, Elizabeth Hurley's going to be like, you've got to stay with me for the rest of my life. You're my best friend and, you know, my partner, emotional partner. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, and, you know, I'm sort of playing devil's advocate here because I really don't know them. We don't know who it's coming from. You know, there's been a rise and rise of what they call failure to launch kids.
Yeah.
Particularly because of house prices, all these other things. So many people are still living at home they've got that whole thing of the bank of mum and dad, all that sort of stuff. People used to go from their dad's house to their husband's house, you know, at sort of 17 or whatever. So a lot of people, it does feel like people are staying enmeshed for a longer period of time, partly maybe economic. Maybe it's him who's refusing to move out rather than she's going, no, you can't leave me. It's really hard to know.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
I mean, if you've got a massive mansion, you get on really well with your mum, he's got given her an opportunity to launch a career. Why would he want to go anywhere if he's got the freedom to do things? Mm. Like, do you know what I mean? You could look at it from that perspective. It's really hard to know.
Yeah, but come on. So he's there living in the countryside mansion with Elizabeth Hurley. And they're out there one day going, oh, mummy, what I need to do is make a film. And the idea I've got is you're going to be Sharon Stone in this film. I'm going to write and direct it. And I'm going to do all the sex scenes. It's like, oh, it could have been a lot of other genres that could have saved them all this trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like we've said, the other genres might not have gotten anywhere near enough.
Attention.
Interest and like, you know, also erotic thrillers, it turns out there is an art to it, but possibly easier to do a reasonable 90 style erotic thriller when you haven't had a lot of experience than to produce some Oscar-worthy drama. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I
for
get
me,
it.
It feels a bit like an easy option. Easier option. Not that I want to dismiss anyone else's work, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I also think there's something, and I just want to say that, you know, I really have been best friends with my mum and my dad at points in my life. Like, they're my favourite person in the world. And I know that's how you felt about your mum. It's like, of course I want to hang out and do everything with them. But the times I've done creative things with them, like with my dad, just a nightmare. We can't even open a computer together and help him with some IT problems. So I give them credit that they even got a whole film out together without killing each other. And then my mum, it's like, oh, is it time for tea? Can we have a break? She's much more chill than me and I'm really driven, you know? So I've never got something off the ground with her. I don't think either, even though I love my mum to bits. So it's quite something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, me and my mum were very, very close. But I think it did help that we lived in different countries. It just gave us a little bit of space, but we'd talk on the phone every day.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that if we were physically in the same place, like living in the same house for long, for you know, more than a week, we'd be more likely to get irritated with each other.
Yeah.
Whereas we could speak every day on the phone and we were totally fine. We were able to like have our own lives, but share them. And that was quite a nice balance for me.
This is one of those films like I actually think I could sit down and watch just for the camp fun of it, you know?
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah.
And make some and have a good giggle.
Next time we're together, we'll watch it. When you think of Showgirls, it was universally panned, but it became a sort of cult favourite because it was almost so bad it was good. Mm-hmm. So maybe it might even hit the spot there. Who knows?
But Sarah, we need to get to our crazy, if this has not been crazy enough this episode, celebrity prediction.
Well, you know, I really struggled. But what I have come up with, or what the universe has sent to me as a prediction, Mystic Meg style, is that Pamela Anderson has sort of made a big thing about deliberately not wearing makeup now, you know, on the red carpet, you know. And it's been so commented on because normally everyone is absolutely, as my dad said, you don't need to put it on with a trowel about makeup. But they're usually plastered with it. Yeah. So you can really see it. So she capitalizes on this by bringing out a line of makeup remover products to encourage other women to not wear makeup. They could just not put it on in the first place, but then she'd have nothing to sell. So she sells, so she brings out Anderson's makeup go away.
Go away.
Makeup be gone. They're all PETA friendly, not test on animals, because she's really big on that. So
let's pitch it to her because I think this is a great business idea.
I feel like she could actually do this. This is the maybe
I
not
really
that crazy.
Think so.
Anyway, okay, tell me, what's your crazy celebrity prediction?
So my crazy celebrity prediction is that Damien Hurley gets like a sequel out of this. Maybe Hugh Grant could turn up in it. And okay, this is like a blockbuster film already. Anyway, so we're getting a bit dark, but this is my crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets more work out of this. So that's my crazy celebrity prediction.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the end of our crazy episode, which I feel like the episode, Sarah, and get this, get ready to be blown away. It's all about boundaries.
And boundaries are so important, but also so malleable and specific, right? What's a suitable boundary for one person? Not a suitable boundary for another. So everyone just really wants a rule. I think we all want rules in our lives, and it would be so easy if there was a set rule for everyone, but unfortunately it isn't.
All right, so we're back next week with a full episode.
But can you believe that this is actually the penultimate episode of this season? We're going to end this season on another Reddit roulette, right?
I cannot wait to do this one.
Yeah, we enjoyed it so much.
We really enjoyed it last time. Unless there's something major that happens in the celebrity world, this is what we're going to do. All right, thank you for listening.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you to our lovely producer, Emily. If you enjoyed today's episode, please don't forget to leave a review and subscribe. It really does help us in reaching more people. You can also follow us on Instagram. Our handle is at S2TC Podcast. You can find out more about the show, get behind the scenes, come and say hello. Until then, see you next time.
This podcast has been produced by Emily Crosby Media.